This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. This Saturday, January 23rd, is Yoga Day USA. Hundreds of teachers and schools across the country will offer free or reduced-priced workshops and classes with the goal of introducing yoga to an ever-widening audience. As Christians, what should be our response to this popular form of exercise? You can find cutting-edge analysis on the topic with a three-part series by Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, online at equip.org. That's equip.org. As always, we want to equip believers with the truth, because truth matters. To join Hank on the air with your questions, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. Well, now, here's the host of the show, Hank Hanegraaff.
And just a few words about yoga before we go to your questions. Since Swami Vivekananda first introduced yoga to the West, and that was more than 100 years ago, yoga has become as American as apple pie. Seems like everybody loves yoga. It's the go-to story for reporters who now produce an average of 8 yoga stories a day in the English-speaking world. And people around the world are now dropping $3 billion a year on yoga classes, on books, on videos, on mats. You have to have your mat color coordinated with your yoga clothing. Yoga is rapidly becoming integrated in virtually every phase of life. Even secular institutions like public education and healthcare are starting to employ yoga. And of course, the real problem from my perspective is that it has been thriving among evangelicals. Because of its rock star status, I decided to develop an acronym, the acronym YOGA, so that you can remember what the yoga practice entails. So here's how it goes. The Y in yoga should remind you of the word yoga, which means yoke or unite. And the idea of yoking or uniting is to yoke or unite with the god of Hinduism, with Brahman, who is the impersonal cosmic consciousness of the universe. So yoga is a means by which a person has his mind merged with the universal mind. So again, the Y means yoke, yoga, to unite. And it is to unite yourself with the impersonal cosmic consciousness of the universe. The O should remind you of Om, which is a sacred Sanskrit syllable, which is cherished by Hindu yogis as the spoken quintessence of the universe. And if you repeat it over and over again, it becomes the principal means by which you can work yourself into an altered state of consciousness. Achieving an altered state of consciousness has a purpose. The purpose is to dull the critical thinking process, because the mind is seen to be the obstacle to enlightenment. So the goal becomes to create a new man, a man who is happily mindless. And what was once relegated to the kingdom of the cults is now being replicated in churches. Now, in the ashrams of the cults, there's no pretense. In churches, it's a prostitution. Despite dangers like possession or insanity, Hindu gurus openly encourage trance states through which devotees tap into realms of the demonic and supposedly discover their higher selves. And everything's written off as progress on the road to enlightenment. So again, the Y should remember the word yoke. or yoga, to unite with the impersonal cosmic consciousness of the universe. The O, or is a mantra through which you can achieve an altered state of consciousness. The G in yoga represents gurus, gurus who are disseminating yoga for the express purpose of achieving this oneness with this impersonal God of Hinduism. And there have been a lot of very significant yogis in the West, like Swami Vivekananda, who in 1893 used the Parliament of World Religions to skillfully sow the seeds for a new global spirituality. Or Vivekananda, who is proudly hailed as the father of yoga in the West and founded the LA-based Self-Realization Fellowship, which has been an incredible means for them of disseminating this practice to multiplied millions of Americans. Another is Swami Muktananda, who popularized Kundalini Yoga, which is the method by which, well, this is alleged at least, a divine energy which resides as a coiled serpent at the base of your spine is aroused. It ascends through chakras and aims for union with the Hindu deity Shiva in a seventh chakra, which is located in the crown of your head. At least that's the story. And it's become so successful in terms of a practice that, again, it's become common fare in classrooms, in corporations, and as I mentioned earlier, even in churches. So lots of gurus disseminating the practice and very successfully in the West. The A, and this is an important word to remember, asana. So you have Y, yoke, O, G, gurus, and A, asanas. And that is the repetition of body postures that are used to achieve a feeling of oneness with the cosmic energy flow of the universe. And if you couple that with breathing exercises and meditation practices, these asana, or these positions, are the pathway to serenity and spirituality. And multitudes are being seduced into believing that these asanas are spiritually neutral. Of course, nothing could be farther from the truth. Swami Parham said to think of asanas as mere body positions or as mere stretching exercises is kind of like believing baptism is an underwater exercise. Here's the bottom line. We want you to know about yoga because an alarming number of Western Christians believe today that they can achieve physical and spiritual well-being through a form of yoga that is divorced from its Eastern underpinnings. In reality, attempts to Christianize Hinduism only Hinduizes Christianity. And so again, the memorable acronym YOGA is there for you so that you will be wary of a practice that seeks to transition you from the kingdom of Christ to the world of the occult. Now, there are a number of different ways in which you can get further information on yoga. First, you can go to the World Wide Web at equip.org, and you can download articles that we've written on yoga. Secondly, we have some back issues of the journal in which Elliot Miller, who is editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal and expert on the New Age movement, wrote a series of articles on yoga. Now, we only have some back issues available, and they're only available, of course, as quantities last. So if you want to find out about getting a hard copy, getting the actual magazine with the articles, check it out. Give us a call. Go to the World Wide Web at equip.org or just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can get my yoga acronym and the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. It's available in all the places I just mentioned. You can also order a personalized copy for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. But again, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. A lot of you hanging in, a lot of you calling in. The number is always 888-ASK-HANK, so we'll go right to the phones and take your calls. First up is Tom, and Tom is listening on KRKS in Denver, Colorado. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Great. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I just had a question. How does one determine the will of God, or how would I determine the will of God for myself in decisions like moving, jobs, that sort of thing? You know, the God's will for my family, the personal stuff. I know the Bible gives us lots of things about the will of God, more for His church and that sort of thing. But just for, you know, things like moving, I'm 60, you know, changing jobs, that sort of thing.
Well, I'm right behind you, Tom. I'm going to be 60 this year in July. So, but look, you're right. The will of God is determined by the Word of God. In other words, in terms of principle, the Word of God gives us the principles by which we have to abide, or the parameters within which we operate. But on a practical level, other than meditating on the Word of God, which is the primary thing to do, God directs people through circumstances, and then through other people, which is to say, God directs a moving ship, a ship in harbor with the anchor down is hard to direct, but a moving ship can be directed, and God directs a moving ship. And I typically look at the circumstances and people that God places in my path as I'm making critical decisions as the means by which to determine a course that I'm going to take. So there are people in my life that I view as trusted counselors, and I talk about these things. Obviously, whatever move I'm going to make has to fit within biblical parameters, but God then moves me through these people and through the circumstances that He places in my path.
Okay. All righty. Well, great. Well, thanks very much.
You got it. Thank you your call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Nathan. He's listening on Bot Radio in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. My question is concerning, I've heard you talk about, people have called in and asked why we celebrate Christmas when we do, and I've heard the explanation that it's for a rival celebration for a pagan holiday. And my question is why is that same... why aren't those same ideas used towards yoga? I mean, how can, you were saying that trying to Christianize Hinduism ends up being the other way around, and I was just kind of curious on to
why that's a good question.
Doesn't work both ways.
Yeah, well, really, there's no way in which you can divorce yoga from its Eastern underpinnings, but what's going on with Christmas is quite different. Christmas is a rival celebration, so it's not imbibing pagan practices, but it is saying the real solution is Jesus Christ and His invasion of time and space. And we celebrate Christmas really every day of the week, just like we celebrate Easter every day of the week, right? I mean, Easter is a celebration of Christ who rose from the dead, the earnest of our resurrection. If you can't celebrate that, what pray tell? What can you celebrate? And in fact, Lord's Day, every single Lord's Day, every single Sunday, we are remembering that in Christ we have our Sabbath rest. So every Lord's Day is a celebration of resurrection, but we also have a special day in which we use a day of the year to let people know of the biblical significance of resurrection and the fact that this is the underpinning to all of Christianity.
Okay, I understand that part of it, but I guess I'm still just kind of confused on how that's not, you can't relate that. I mean, I don't understand how you can't use that same idea. You know, if you want to go to the gym and work out and they happen to be doing yoga, then that, to me, that's that stretches and breathing.
Well, sure. I mean, if that's all it is, if yoga is body positions, it's stretching and breathing, well, then it's not really yoga. I'm talking what yoga really is. I'm talking about the fact that yoga means yoking to Brahman. I'm talking about the altered states of consciousness that yoga seeks to embrace or achieve. I'm talking about the gurus who are teaching an alternate form of spirituality. I'm talking about body positions that are meant to be coupled with breathing exercises to achieve an altered state of consciousness. So yoga, if it is truly yoga and not just exercises, is a worldview. Christmas is a completely different category because rather than embracing a pagan celebration, you're introducing a rival celebration in which to celebrate not paganism, but the Christian belief that Christ has invaded time and space. And not only invaded time and space once, but that he will invade time and space again. So I think it's a completely different category. But again, this is something that Christians can debate vigorously. They ultimately don't have to divide over. We'll be right back with more.
Saturday, January 23rd is Yoga Day USA. As you would expect from the Christian Research Institute, we've carefully researched the immensely popular yoga movement, culminating in a three-part series on the history and practice of yoga in the West, along with a discerning analysis from a Christian perspective. This and other related resources are available through the Christian Research Institute by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI or by going online to equip.org. That's equip.org. But don't touch that dial. We'll return with more of the show in just a moment. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank. Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Investors are concerned that there's more bad news.
Calling for an end to U.S. military
operations. The world is glued to the news headlines, anxiously awaiting what the future holds. So it's up to believers in Christ to be prepared to give well-reasoned answers about what lies ahead, based on sound Bible doctrine. That's why The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff is such a vital resource for your library. It covers today's most asked prophecy questions and reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. The Apocalypse Code will resolve many questions regarding the mysteries of the end times and help you give an informed answer for the hope that is in you. All you really need to know about understanding Revelation is what the rest of the Bible says. So order your copy of The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or look online at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God? What is truth? Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect. perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answered Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. 2010 marks the 50th anniversary of the Christian Research Institute. As we look forward to the future, however, biblical illiteracy continues to be the problem in our culture. Thus, the Christian Research Institute has decided to tackle the issue of biblical illiteracy head-on during the year of our 50th anniversary celebration. But we need you to join us in the adventure. This month, we'd like to begin with the main and plain thing, read your Bible. That is why we have specially designed place markers with Hank's personal approach to reading the Bible in a year. For your gift to the Christian Research Institute, you'll receive two place markers so you can partner with a family member or friend as you follow Hank's personal approach to reading through the Bible. To make a difference with your gift and start your journey, go online to equip.org. or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Well, now back to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Before we go back to the questions, let me mention the Legacy Study Bible is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And for your gift of $250 or more, I'll send you two laminated place markers that Randy just told you about. The personalized leather-bound edition of the Legacy Study Bible. Again, I'll personalize that for you. And then a companion booklet that shows you step-by-step how to read and study the Bible for all it's worth, as well as a DVD, which includes an interview with yours truly on the Legacy Study Bible. We have limited quantities available, so order today. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Next up, Eric, listening on WORD in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Eric.
Hello, Hank. Great show as always. Hank, I had a question. I was seeing a health doctor some time ago, and I'm into health foods and all that, but it was a little further than that. He asked me to come in. I told him I think I was having some back problem. He came in, sent me in the office, sat down in the office. He called one of the ladies in the office, sat next to me. And she sat not only next to me, but next to me, so her leg was touching. I put my arm out. She put her hand on top of mine. And he's by her, having her lift her arm, do some motion. And then he says, okay, you have a back problem, although that's what I wrote down in a questionnaire. But he asked him what that was. He said it was kinesiology, and I didn't debate it at the point because I was unfamiliar with it. But what do you know about kinesiology? I heard you say earlier something about you said the word cosmic energy flow, and that sounds, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's the Eastern underpinning, but you have to make a distinction between kinesiology and applied kinesiology. They're not the same thing. Kinesiology is a legitimate scientific study of movement or biomechanics. Applied kinesiology, however, is a pseudoscientific way of diagnosing illness based on muscle testing.
Yeah.
And the basic idea is that every organ dysfunction is associated with a particular muscle weakness. And so it involves an outlandish muscle testing procedure that doesn't fare very well under controlled, well-diagnosed scientific tests. So it's not something that we think has great credibility simply because there isn't the science there to back it up.
Okay, yeah, he was muscle testing. The lady sitting next to me, she was lifting her arms, her leg. He was making physical contact with her to find out what was wrong with me.
Yeah,
I just didn't agree with that.
Yep. Well, I don't recommend the practice of applied kinesiology. There's just no scientific basis for it that seems sustainable.
the very roots of it. Is there something I could even find in some of your literature?
We probably get you some information if you want to hang on.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for your call, Eric. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Ryan. He's listening in Kansas. Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I appreciate your show and your knowledge that God has given you.
Thank you.
My question was concerning so-called Christian yoga, and your thoughts on that, and any input would be helpful.
Well, what is Christian yoga? I mean, if you're going to divorce yoga from its Eastern underpinnings, I wouldn't call it yoga.
Yeah.
Because yoga in and of itself has a decidedly Eastern worldview attached to it. I mean, the whole idea is to yoke yourself with Brahman. The universal energy flow, and it's to achieve an altered state of consciousness through mantras and body positions and the like. So if you're going to have Christian yoga, don't call it Christian yoga. If you want to have exercises, call them exercises. I mean, there are some great yoga stretches, but you want to divorce the stretches from yoga by not calling it yoga, because it's not yoga unless you're trying to align yourself with the cosmic energy flow of the universe.
Okay. Well, I was just listening to you, and I had that question come up. So thank you very much.
Hey, you got it. Thanks for your call, Ryan. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Barbara, listening on KELP in New Mexico. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call, and I really appreciate your ministry. My question is about acupuncture. My mother's been suffering from a debilitating something that has reduced her ability to walk for the past year. She's been to orthopedic doctors and neurologists, and no one can give her a diagnosis. So a Christian sister recommended acupuncture, and I don't really know how to advise her. I thought it was New Age in its roots.
Yeah, kind of interesting question, particularly in light of what we've been talking about on the broadcast today. But acupuncture actually has proven effective at relieving some kinds of pain, which can be explained in orthodox medical terms without appealing to this universal life force that I was talking about earlier. However, having said that, neither the Bible nor modern science establishes the existence of the type of universal energy force necessary for acupuncture to work effectively at healing disease. In other words, if you think that through acupuncture you are relieving the energy forces of your body such that they can adhere properly to the universal energy force or flow, then you're misguided. And so you have to be very careful with acupuncture in that at its base, there's a rooting in Eastern and New Age religious concepts. Again, the claim being that bodily energy can be redirected through the insertion of needles into certain spots in the body. And that's done in order to heal or promote healing of all kinds of disease. So the Eastern underpinning is a way of releasing or redirecting bodily energy so that it aligns with universal energy. And that is not only unbiblical, but it's bizarre and has no basis in reality.
Well, that's what I would worry about. As a Christian man, would you do it if you were left with the options my mother has? How would you feel any conflict? Is it related in any way to biofeedback?
Here's the thing for me, as a Christian man. If I was in a tremendous amount of pain and I'd exhausted other avenues of relieving that pain, and there were someone who has a proven track record in this area at relieving pain and not appealing to this universal life force nonsense or mumbo jumbo, I wouldn't absolutely say that I would rule it out of court, because some of this can be explained in orthodox medical terms. So I'm a little reticent to absolutely draw a line in the sand here. But I do want to warn people that this oftentimes becomes a roadway or a road map into the world of the occult, because many, if not most of the people practicing the procedure do believe in the Eastern New Age religious concepts, which I explained earlier, this bodily energy that can be redirected through inserting needles.
Well, wouldn't that be the same principle if your masseuse was into that as well?
I think it is the same principle, because if acupuncture works, it's not working by virtue of the Eastern worldview explanation that's historically offered for it. And the same thing is true. I mean, you can have a body massage that can work very, very well for you, while the practitioner massaging you is telling you that this is aligning your energy with the cosmic energy flow. Well, you can just kind of tune the person out and say they don't know what they're talking about. Or you could use it as a springboard for sharing the gospel, either way. But I think you make a good point.
Well, great. Then I think being the Christian woman that she is, and being filled with prayer before she goes, and her actions being completely trusting God, then she wouldn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, and you know, that's another great point. Let me just piggyback on what you said, because if you look at spiritual warfare, so often Christians are worried about Satan's power to pillage. If you read Ephesians chapter 6, you see God's power to protect.
Right.
And that's the emphasis that Paul gives. Ultimately, we don't have to fear Satan's ploys if we put on the full armor of God. And part of that armor, as you just mentioned, in fact, the part of the armor that ties it all together is prayer.
Right. Well, that certainly puts it all together for me, and I certainly appreciate your time.
Well, you're the one that put it together, Barbara. Your thoughts were poignant and profound. Thank you.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you.
God bless you. And I just love it when people think critically, and so many of our callers are learning discernment skills. This is one of the things that we are attempting to do through the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine that probes today's religious movements, promotes doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and provides reasons for Christian faith and ethics. We have a current edition of the Christian Research Journal out with three words that often stick in our throat on the front cover, and those words are, "We were wrong." Those are some of the most difficult words to utter. But yet, for a ministry committed to the maxim, "Because truth matters," as we are, the willingness to utter those words is not an option. It is an essential. This is our reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, as well as Living Stream Ministries. And it is a must-read, because in the process, you will learn how to properly talk about the nature of God. You will be invigorated with the prospect that your life can be used in spiritual multiplication, and you will be ever more ready to discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. We're always saying to people, you need to be so familiar with the real that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. The Christian Research Journal, particularly this issue, will help you do just that. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me, at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with more of your questions in just a few moments. The number to dial, as always, to get your question on air, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Right back with your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
The Christian Research Journal is the premier magazine covering relevant and current issues on Christianity, faith, ethics, religious movements, philosophy, and so much more. Recently on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, joined Hank in the studio to discuss the latest issue, which includes a special five-part article re-evaluating our views on the local church.
This issue is available in print or digital format, or you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal at equip.org. You can also call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online at equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. It's a fact that the practice of yoga is gaining in popularity from coast to coast. You can find classes at the local gym and even at the local church. Is yoga compatible with Christianity? How should Christians respond to yoga's profound penetration of Western culture? Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, has written a three-part series probing the principles and practices of yoga and provides thoughtful answers to your questions. This and other yoga-related resources can be found by contacting one of our resource consultants now at 888-7000-274 or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, back to more of the Bible Answer Man.
Thank you, Randy. And if you want to stretch, stretch. As a golfer, stretching is a wonderful thing to involve yourself in, especially if you want to hit the ball far. So a lot of Christians love to stretch, and the one thing we're warning people against, however, is not to get involved in a worldview of yoga, recognizing that yoga means to yoke or unite yourself with the cosmic consciousness of the universe, that they use mantras to work you in an altered state of consciousness, the Mantra is a good example that their gurus are very hard at work in trying to impact or impregnate our culture in the West with their Eastern worldview, and that their body positions coupled with their meditation exercises or practices are a way of seeking to work you into an altered state of consciousness that ultimately is meant to achieve this altered state of consciousness so that your mind is blank and so that the world of the occult can write on the blackness or blankness of your mind. So again, we want you to stay away from the world view of yoga, and oftentimes yoga classes are the first step into this worldview. And if Christians don't know how to discern between wheat and chaff and hate and light, they can easily get sucked into a worldview that is decidedly dangerous. So again, make sure that you become so familiar with the truth that you don't fall for the counterfeit. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Logan. Logan is listing an XM170 in Missouri. Hi, Logan.
Hello.
Hi.
I had a question about, I am having a class about contradiction at my house. Well, it seems that in Matthew 27:5 and in Acts 1:18 that Judas gets killed in two different ways. I know that the Bible doesn't contradict itself, but some people think otherwise.
Yeah.
I would like to know how you think, what you think about that.
Well, Logan, what I think about that is that you have not contradictory information, but complementary information. So if you look at the passage in Matthew that you described, you have Matthew writing about the fact that Judas hanged himself. And then in Acts, Dr. Luke, who also wrote the book of Luke, in terms of the gospel, adds that Judas's body fell, that his body opened up, and that his intestines gushed out. Now, there's a backdrop to this story. Judas, no doubt, hung himself from a biblical perspective. Matthew's clear about that, but his body decomposed in the hot sun and eventually fell, and quite a mess ensued. So we won't go into the details of that. But again, there's a backstory to that, because no Jew would bury a dead corpse during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, this was a feast that the Jews had commemorating the deliverance of the Jews from Egypt and the establishment of Israel as a nation. And it begins on the day after the Passover and lasts for 7 days. So again, Judas hanging himself as a corpse after he died wasn't someone that anybody would touch. So his body decomposes. And so all you have is Luke as a doctor, by the way, adding additional details, filling out the rest of the story, as the radio commentary of Paul Harvey used to start out. Now the rest of the story. And that's exactly what you find in the book of Acts.
Yes, I am looking at the book of Acts right now, and I see that. So that makes sense.
Well, good. How old are you, Logan?
I'm 12, and I'm only 6 months away from being 13.
Wow. Well, you're obviously very intelligent, and I appreciate you calling me today.
Okay.
Bless you.
Thank you.
What a joy to have a young guy like that checking out the Bible, and he's going to be a useful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process of reaching other people. I want to go back to the phone lines now, and we'll talk next to Jason. Jason is listening in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on WORD. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Hank.
How are
you? How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. Hey, well, my question is, you know, first let me tell you that your ministry has been a true blessing in my life. God used you tremendously. I was in the Word of Faith movement in the 90s, and I came across your book, Christianity in Crisis. And I read it from cover to cover, and it totally changed my view of my faith. And it allowed me to just grow deeper into my faith and my relationship with the Lord. Yeah. So I appreciate that. I guess my question for you today is that, you know, I have a Bible study teacher, and, you know, she's always telling me, you know, give Hanagraph a call because she knows I listen to you. And, you know, my question to you is, you know, there's men like you and Rabbi Zacharias, Josh McDowell, you know, D. James Kennedy, Lee Strobel. You know, I want to do what you guys do. You know, I have a love for the truth, you know, a passion for the Lord and for people to know. And I guess my question to you is, how can I become an apologist? How does that happen?
Well, Jason, I think you already are an apologist. The question for every Christian is not whether you're an apologist, but whether you're a good apologist.
Right.
And all of us have to give reasons for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. And I started out on this journey myself by looking at the evidences for origins, because I believe that how one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. So the first great apologetic issue is that issue of origins. Are we a function of blind chance, of pure philosophical naturalism, or were we created in the image of God and accountable to Him? So that's the first issue that I think that as an apologist you should digest. I wrote a book about that. It's called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution. And also there's a little book that is a takeoff of that book that's called Fatal Flaws, both of those available through the ministry. And I think if you digest them, I give you a memorable way of really being able to demonstrate that the whole notion that nothing produces everything or that the nothing that produced everything eventually ended up in complexity is a bankrupt notion in an age of scientific enlightenment. The second major issue involves Jesus Christ and His resurrection, because the God of the Bible is not merely a transcendent God. He's a God who condescended to cloak Himself in human flesh. He lived and moved among us so that we could know Him and have an intimate personal relationship with Him for time and for eternity. Now, He ultimately demonstrates that He's God through the immutable fact of the resurrection. And Christianity doesn't just believe that through blind faith, but builds a cumulative case for the notion that Christ rose from the dead. In fact, no one does that better than the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He points out that Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment, that the tomb was empty. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. That Christ appeared and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive, and that the disciples were utterly transformed by the appearances of the resurrected Christ. Now, it's conceivable that someone would die for what they fervently believed to be true, but inconceivable that multitudes would die for what they knew to be a lie. And so the appearances of Christ and the subsequent transformation of His disciples is a powerful testimony to the reality of resurrection. And again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the earnest of our own resurrection. So that's the second great apologetic issue. Again, to go back and just reinforce this, the first is the issue of origins. The second is the issue of Christ's resurrection. The third, then, is to demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And if you can do that, you can answer a host of questions by simply saying, the Bible says. Now, if you say the Bible says and you can't demonstrate that the Bible is divine rather than human in origin, then people will say, well, you know, I have my own authority. I've got the Book of Mormon, or I've got the Quran, or I have some other authority that I use for living my life. And you might have one authority, I have another. But if you can demonstrate that their authorities are human, yours is not merely human, but divine in origin, now you have a whole different standard by which to live your life. So those are three great apologetic issues that I would say focus on those three. That's the starting point for becoming an effective apologist.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. My prayer that I've had and the desire I've had is to go to Bible University, and still praying about it. But I just, again,
Well, Biola has a wonderful apologetics program, and my second daughter, my second oldest daughter, Katie, met her husband at Biola, Adam, and they're happily married, and we have a great grandchild as a result of that. So we love Biola.
Great. Well, it's been nice talking to you, Hank. Thank you very much.
Well, bless you. Thank you, and deeply appreciative of the fact of here's another guy that wants to be an apologist, and all of us are called to do just that. In fact, that's what this ministry is. It's an apologetics ministry. Apologetics does not mean an apology for the faith. I emphasize that because I still run into a lot of people. We use the in-house lingo of apologetics, and they don't know what that is. It's a defense of the faith. It's giving reasons for faith, and it is based on the presupposition that the Christian faith is historic and evidential. It's not blind faith. Rather, it is faith and evidence. And again, the kinds of things that we're talking about with respect to apologetics, I've written about this in various forms. The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, my book Resurrection, which also has an appendix on learning to demonstrate that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. I'm in the process of writing a book right now, Has God Spoken, which deals with demonstrating the Bible's divine rather than merely human in origin. All those resources, many more, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, as well as the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you a personalized copy. This is a means through which you can support the ministry, and we need your support desperately. We spend millions of dollars to circle the globe with a ministry like this on radio, and we need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially so we can stay on the air. You can join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Here's the deal. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. If you're hanging on, be patient. If you want to call in a question right now, so go to your phone and dial 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
2010 marks our 50th anniversary of equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and strengthened. The past five decades have produced fruit far beyond what anyone could have imagined. But as we look forward to the future, biblical illiteracy continues to be the problem in our current culture. The Christian Research Institute is committed to tackling the issue of biblical illiteracy head-on during the year of our 50th anniversary celebration with reading through the Bible using Hank's Legacy Reading Plan. To start your journey in the right direction and to thank you for your gift, we'd like to send you two Legacy Reading Plan place markers. So visit our website at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-274 to support CRI and request your Legacy Reading Plan place markers. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.